When we end a relationship with a narcissist, whether it was them who did the ending or us who did the ending, very often we find ourselves wondering, how are we going to continue? What's going to happen next? How can we stop allowing ourselves to feel like we don't deserve to be happy? How can we forgive ourselves for having allowed that person to continue to abuse us for as long as they did? You might find yourself thinking about your ex a little more than you want to.
I really think that the hardest, most painful part is emotional invalidation, which sounds innocent, right? But it's what happens when someone rejects or ignores or judges everything you say, everything you think, everything you feel.
Something you should know about narcissists is that even if they're not diagnosed with NPD, they often have this ability to really ramp up romance and make it feel like something amazing. They kind of make you feel like you're the star of your own personal movie, don't they? But they have this habit of kind of cutting you off the knees for very little reason, if any reason at all. The thing is, narcissists are not capable of being good at relationships, not really. They don't give you much of a chance. Very often, they mess with your head. So what ends up happening is you don't get closure from a narcissist. And when the relationship ends, it kind of feels like you're still in the middle of it, so you're left just where you are right now, kind of spinning, going, what am I supposed to do now?
This leaves us feeling obsessed with figuring out the details and the implications of our toxic relationships. We find ourselves ruminating and stuck and spinning as a result of not getting the closure. Of course, it leaves a lot of us feeling the need to either find our own closure or spend years trying in vain to emotionally heal after these toxic relationships. We feel like we can't move forward and we're not understanding exactly why that is. Let's get there.
How can we forgive ourselves for having allowed that person to continue to abuse us for as long as they did? We shame ourselves. We blame ourselves. We put ourselves down. We beat ourselves up. We say we should have known better. Why didn't we know better? We are filled with shame, with regret, with anger. We can't stop thinking about what we tolerated, what we went through, without feeling guilty ourselves. People ask us, what were you thinking? How could you have stayed that long? And then we realize these people don't even know what we went through, and they didn't know while we were in the relationship many times, and that these people's opinion is irrelevant. What really matters is your own understanding of yourself and the situation. So you ask yourself, why did I stay? I know I'm smart enough to know better. I know I should have known better. We shame ourselves. Maybe you delayed ending the relationship because you thought things would get better. You hoped. Maybe you had kids together. You had a family together. You didn't want to just break it all up. Maybe like me, you thought to yourself, well, as long as this person's good to my child, I can stay and deal with the way they treat me. Maybe it's about money. Maybe you think you love that person or you did love that person. Maybe because they always were apologizing and saying they would change, you believed them and you had hope. Maybe it's your religion that made you stay. Maybe they threatened you if you left that they would chase you and make your life harder or take your kids or take your money or take your house. Maybe you invested so much time in the relationship, so much energy in the relationship, you just didn't want to have to start over again already. Maybe you were scared. Maybe the idea of being single again just didn't quite appeal to you. Or maybe they would talk you out of it when you tried to leave. Maybe you didn't want to hurt them, or when you tried to leave, they guilt tripped you. Maybe you were scared that you would get out in the world and not know what to do with yourself and wish you were back in that relationship. Listen, there are a million reasons you might have stayed, but none of those are relevant today. You did what you did. You felt how you felt. No one, including yourself, should beat you up for that. The fact of the matter is you cannot change what happened in the past. You can only change what happens in the future. Why would you fall for such a difficult person in your life when you knew better? Because you're human. Because that person showed you something that wasn't true. Because even the most empathic person can fall for a narcissist who's on their best behavior, because during the moment that they're saying the things that they're saying, they believe those things. You see, you gotta forgive yourself for not knowing then what you know now. You have to. It's the only way you're gonna be able to move forward in your healing. Sure, it's great to understand why you stayed. Absolutely it is. You should take the time to learn to figure that out, because that will help you make better decisions in the future. But shaming yourself, beating yourself up for doing that, that's a whole other ball of wax, my friend. The past is in the past. We've got to learn to accept it and move forward. If we keep rehashing it and reviewing it and concerning ourselves with it again and again and again, we're just living in the past. And living in the past wastes your current day, your current life. And honestly, it just hurts you and makes you feel bad about yourself over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying? So ask yourself, did I really do anything wrong here, or did I just love this person too hard? If there is something in your life that you can say, I did this wrong, I made the wrong choice here, I should have been stronger, I should have left when this happened or that happened, okay, forgive yourself. You are human, and humans are wired to seek and keep a mate, to seek and keep people in their lives that they can trust and understand. Humans are wired to retain their relationships, and so all you were doing was following your human instincts. What you know now is that that was a toxic relationship. Now you understand that you don't want that in your life. But until recently, you didn't understand that, or until you did understand it, you didn't know. Nobody knew. So once you've learned that, you can't go back and retroactively beat yourself up for choices that you made when you didn't understand that. So what if you ignored your intuition? What if you knew better and you went ahead and you stopped anyway? What if your friends warned you and your family warned you? Maybe the ex-supply warned you and you still continued in that relationship. What does that mean? Do you owe yourself some sort of personal flogging, or should you forgive yourself? Obviously, you should forgive yourself, but why? First of all, you have to give yourself credit today for actually having recognized those mistakes, for having noticed, okay, this isn't going right in my life and I want to change something. The fact is, being able to see what you went through, what you did, this is a new perspective for you, and you're just kind of trying to figure it all out. You took the first step to healing by recognizing that the issue was not you, right? You have to commend yourself at this point for even seeing that there is this problem in your life, or was this problem in your life, because many people never see it. Now is a good time for you to start to focus on what you can do next. So whether you want to go out and start your own business, or you want to go out and start a yoga practice, or start to learn to knit, do something that takes you away from this person and their whole toxic issue. Become independent, become self-sufficient from this person. Even if you were always independent and self-sufficient, we're talking emotionally here. And if it's more than emotion that you need support with, we'll work on becoming independent financially and otherwise. This is the start to sort of taking back your life. And you will forgive yourself when you learn better. Do you see what I'm saying? It's easier to forgive yourself when you see yourself taking strides, making changes in your life. But then you've got to cut yourself a little slack. The fact is, I think us empaths beat ourselves up more than anybody else in the world in certain ways. We stay in bad relationships, we'll beat ourselves up. We overcriticize ourselves if we have the nerve to put any self-care into our lives until we recognize the value of that. And God forbid we want more. We beat ourselves up for that too. Well, I'm here to tell you that none of those things are wrong. We're all human. We all deserve to be happy, and it's okay to want more. Just be prepared to go out and get it. It's going to be really important at this time that you are also able to let go of the person who was in your life. Let go of that person and let go of that relationship. Detachment is an intentional choice that you make when you're trying to pull yourself away from a toxic person. You have to make the choice to decide logically, I'm no longer going to be a part of this relationship. That doesn't mean that right then at that moment, you're going to feel completely detached. That's just where it all begins. You have to begin to consciously not allow yourself to get sucked back into the narcissist's games. It's really difficult. You have to decide that you're no longer going to fall for the narcissist's manipulation tactics. Not gaslighting, not projection, not belittling. You can't fall for any of it. You have to decide that you will no longer accept nonsense answers and made-up stories as truth. You have to decide that you will stand up for yourself, or you will walk away when you're dealing with a narcissist who's engaging in these games. And even though you know that some of these things worked on you in the past, you have to decide it's not going to work anymore. So the first step to detachment is deciding to do it. In order to actually be detached, where you really feel like you're no longer connected to that person, you have to sort of fake it till you make it. And I know that phrase is not really loved in our community, but it's kind of true. What I mean is, you have to kind of go through the motions before you really get what you're doing. You feel me? So in order to sort of protect yourself emotionally, you focus on the logic of it all. You focus on the facts. You use your cognitive abilities to stay logical and, for the time being, keep your emotion out of it. Now, you will get to a point in recovery when you will want to connect your emotions to your logic, of course. But right now, we're just trying to keep you protected so that you can detach from that narcissist. Remember, we feel addicted to narcissists and toxic people who we've loved, very much like you would feel addicted to a drug. It affects the same part of your brain that drug addiction does. You're going to be emotionally crushed. You're going to feel a great deal of stress. And you're going to feel really confused by everything your partner or family member has done. Now, in many cases, you're going to want to start practicing this detachment even before you leave the narcissist. So if you haven't left yet, this is still something you can and should do. It sort of helps you, well, detach mentally and emotionally from this person so that you can start to imagine your life new. You can start to imagine your life different.
The hardest part of this is that you're going to have to start ignoring the signals that your brain is naturally sending you. These are like emotional triggers that come from things that the narcissist is doing or not doing in your life. A lot of people tell me they want to check the narcissist's social media every 5 minutes, or they want to text them and check in with them, or they want to track them on their phones. If you're already separated, you might be thinking about wondering who that person's been dating, or you might just want to give them a call just to get some closure. You probably find yourself talking about the narcissist in different support groups or on forums online. And that's really a big part of why we stay stuck, because we feel like we can't really resist those urges. They feel almost primal to us. Those types of messages are coming from that part of ourself that is primal, that part that doesn't really understand the logic of it all. This is why we have to really step up our thinking game when we're trying to recover from narcissists. Our emotions won't allow us to overcome this type of abuse ourselves. We need to bring in the logic, because the logic is the part that looks at the facts and the things that are actually happening in the moment. But you're going to need a little bit of help with letting go of a narcissist. And the first thing is going to be the willingness to change your mind, the willingness to have the intention and try to stick to it. You have to be willing to let go. You have to be willing to tell yourself no when you want to look at their social media or make a phone call or send a text or stalk them in some other way. And the next thing you have to do is you have to educate yourself on what a narcissist is. So, of course, we know what a narcissist is, but in case you don't, take some time, watch some videos, read some articles, find out exactly what it is that you're dealing with, if you haven't already, and then use that information and that knowledge. Learn about the manipulation tactics, learn about the psychology of a narcissist, learn about the spectrum of narcissism, the whole cluster B spectrum. Take some time. Figure out the narcissist and how their brain works and how they work. And once you've done that, not only does it get a little easier to deal with the narcissist because they are exhibiting identifiable behaviors that are seen in all narcissists, this will help you disconnect emotionally a little bit by itself. Once you've educated yourself about narcissism, you're going to also want to educate yourself about yourself and the reasons that you found yourself in this position in the first place. Another good reason to educate yourself is that it's not really fair or safe to assume that every guy or girl is like the one you were just with. Narcissism and all of the cluster B disorders can be very extreme. And while the narcissist in your life probably made you feel crazy or not good enough or controlling or whatever, it's really important that you sort of overcome those false beliefs about yourself. You have to understand narcissists can't take responsibility, so they're going to do anything they can to avoid it. Of course, that includes blaming you or anyone else who's near them. By figuring out exactly how a narcissist works, you can logically move through things even if you are still in emotional pain. Does that make sense? So you use the information that you gather as a way to sort of turn in the way that you're thinking, a way to sort of change lanes, so to speak. You stop thinking of you and the narcissist as us, and you start seeing yourself as an individual. You start worrying about your own safety, your own well-being, your own freaking sanity, and you start looking toward your own future. It's sort of like you're going at no contact with them just emotionally, on an emotional, internal level. And they'll notice it, I promise you, but if you stick it out, you'll be able to detach fully when it's time, when and if you're ready. By protecting yourself with your understanding of the logic of the psychology of all of these parts of the narcissistic personality, you're protecting yourself with your understanding of the situation. You can put your emotions to the side as you figure out the psychology of it. And in my experience, I found that knowing the psychology helped me to identify those behaviors, helped me to go, okay, that's gaslighting, okay, that's projection, whatever it was. When I could see it in that way and I could identify and label the behaviors, it took the sting out of them for me. I almost started to feel sorry for the narcissist when I could see how textbook the manipulations were, almost. Have you ever heard about the elephant in the corner and how you can't stop thinking about the elephant in the corner because it's right there in front of you, like this, right? The elephant in the corner analogy. When you attempt to force yourself not to think about the elephant in the corner, what are you thinking about? It's the elephant in the corner, right? Instead of focusing on the fact that you feel just obsessed and you can't stop thinking about him, try flowing with your thoughts.
Don't try to stop them. Just let them flow and then imagine yourself letting go of that person. Another thing I like to do is I like to go, I don't want to think about X, Y, or Z, right? So let's say I start thinking about X, Y, and Z, and then I go, no, I now cancel that thought and I replace it with this affirmation of my true divine desire. So I decide to myself, I'm not going to allow myself to continue to think about that thing, and instead I'm going to focus on what I do want, which is usually unrelated to that thing.
Once you learn how to forgive yourself for that relationship, you're going to be able to move forward and stop living in the past. You forgive yourself and you also learn how to let go of what that relationship was, whether we're talking about because of the way the relationship happened, because of the way that it ended, or the fact that it was a big lie.
Another tip, you can put a rubber band on your wrist and every time you think about them, snap, snap, snap. And I know it sounds silly, but a lot of people find that to be highly effective.
A few quick tips for detachment. Remember that you don't want to ever expect the narcissist to change, and demanding that the narcissist will change is just an exercise in frustration. So don't waste your energy or your time. Understand, the narcissist could change, sure. But unless the narcissist chooses to change of his or her own volition, it's not going to happen. And in my experience and in the experience of many other people I've interviewed and worked with, they don't change because they never think anything is wrong. And I know that's painful, but it's true. The next thing you need to do is make sure you don't try to play the narcissist, play games with the narcissist. Certainly it could be satisfying to take the narcissist and twist him around a little and give him a taste of their own medicine, right? But doing that is just going to cause you a great deal of stress, and it is in many cases going to have the narcissist rising up against you. It's just not worth it. It's like talking to a brick wall. You can't expect it to hear you or change, but you can certainly bang your head against it and wind up with injuries of your own. Remember that there's nothing wrong with you. You shouldn't have any shame or doubt about yourself because you do need to walk away from this person. You're in a relationship that's toxic and it's destructive to your life and yourself. Not only do these types of relationships affect us mentally, but also physically, it's really important that you try to develop a really rational perspective of the situation and that you don't stay focused on those things that are out of your control. Like I said, even if you can't leave, you can still sort of distance yourself emotionally. But don't doubt who you're dealing with. Don't question yourself. Make sure that you take responsibility for your own happiness, your own peace, your own well-being, your own fulfillment. The narcissist cannot and will not do that for you. In fact, no one will. The narcissist wants you to stay depressed and sad and beaten down because that makes it easier to control you. But now you can take back that control, even if you can't leave yet. You can take back the control and make it your own again. You gave them control over your feelings, your thoughts, your behaviors, your happiness, your well-being, all of those things, certainly without realizing it. But on some level, you gave them that control. Maybe you were manipulated into it. Chances are that you were. But it's time that you start meeting your own needs, and you do that by making different choices, different behaviors, a new perspective, and by acting from that new perspective of empowerment. Know this, you cannot change, fix, save, rescue, or love anyone enough to force them to love you or to be nice to you. The narcissist is a limited person. They don't have the ability to see you for the amazing person that you are. And unfortunately, those narcissistic glasses they're wearing won't let them see you that way. It's really their loss, even though it doesn't feel like that just yet. You have to remember that no matter what happens, the narcissist will never think you're good enough long term. Certainly, the love bombing will come here and there. Certainly, you might get put up on a pedestal now and then. But no matter how much you do for them, it's never going to be enough, and they're always going to ask for more. You can compromise forever. You can give up everything you want and never take care of any of your needs. You can bend over backward for them. It won't matter. The more you do those things, the more ungrateful, the more entitled, the more demanding, the more pushy they will become. Essentially, you're going to waste your energy on a person like this if you keep doing it. So think about stopping. Think about taking back your power and not letting them have it anymore. Make sure you don't have high expectations when it comes to the narcissist. I want to tell you to raise your expectations, but recognize that the narcissist will never rise to the occasion. So keep your expectations low when it comes to dealing with one. Understand that they are limited people. They don't have the ability to empathize with you or even really care about you, especially when they're angry at you. They lack object constancy, which means that they can't love you and be angry at you in the same moment. So in those moments when they are angry at you, they really dislike you or sometimes even hate you as a result of whatever they're feeling. No matter how much guilt or crocodile tears or extreme hypersensitivity they seem to throw your way, don't fall for it. Just remember, this is a pathological person who is going to continue to hurt you if you allow them to.
Don't forget, it's okay if you need to take some time to mourn this person. You can cry if you need to cry. You can scream and break and throw things if you need to. Give yourself a little bit of time to do that if necessary. Don't just pretend it didn't happen. Let the emotions out. When you are in a relationship with a narcissist, very often your emotions are cut right off. You're not allowed to experience them or feel them. So try letting them out and then moving forward. That can be incredibly helpful for you. Another thing you can do is simply go around where you live, go around your stuff, your office, your home, and take all pictures and memories of this person out. It can help you to move forward emotionally and mentally. Your visual cues of that person, any smells of that person, anything like that, removing those can help you to sort of let go a little faster. Remember that because at that moment, staying was just the best thing you knew to do. Whether it was for any of the reasons we listed or something else entirely, you stayed because it felt like the right choice in that moment. Now you can do better. Go to queenbeing.com/plan if you need to leave. And download the material there. It's free. It won't cost you a thing. One of them's a workbook and one of them's like a tutorial worksheet type thing. Or you can actually write on them and write down the things that you want and need to gather up as you're leaving. If there are other things happening in your life, you've already left, then go to queenbeing.com/passion and start to figure out, what are you passionate about? These kinds of things will help to take your mind away from beating yourself up and continuing to allow sort of the narcissist to control you from over there, and start to give you some empowerment and allow you to put your arms around yourself and embrace yourself for who you are today in this moment.
It's time for you to take back your mind, your emotions, yourself. When you can, spend as much time away from the narcissist as possible if you haven't already left, and find a support group that will help you. Maybe this involves friends or family members, or even a local support group that you find through meetup.com, or maybe you get involved with a support group online, such as the Spanily, which you can learn more about that at queenbeing.com/span. It's free and very supportive. Our coaches and our admin team are also survivors, and they do everything they can to keep the group safe for you every day. We have admins from around the world to make sure that we're covered most of every single day and night. Ultimately, what you're trying to do when you're detaching from a narcissist is to try to stop letting them hurt you, stop letting them affect you, and to end the relationship, whether in reality or in your mind. Know that when you stop reacting, they will start pushing harder. That's the narcissistic whirl response we talk about. When you see them beginning to kind of rile up and act pushier and more entitled and more ungrateful, scream, yell, whatever, that kind of shows that what you're doing is working, because it's them reacting to not getting what they want. It's them reacting to a lack of narcissistic supply, which ultimately is what you must deprive them of if you're ever going to get free. By using the art of detachment in your favor, you can actually take back your power one moment at a time. Every time you don't react, you get a little more powerful. It feels pretty good.
Being in a relationship with a narcissist is never easy, but moving forward can be less painful if you love yourself in the process. And all of that begins with unconditional self-acceptance, which leads to unconditional self-love. And just really quickly, what I do with that personally is whenever I have a struggle with one of those two things, I ask myself, what would I say to my child or my best friend or someone else who I really care about in my life? What would I say to that person, and how would I treat that person under these circumstances if they came to me and said this to me? And you can do the same thing for yourself. Give yourself that bit of grace. So how will you even know if you have forgiven yourself for that bad relationship? Well, the first thing that you're going to notice is that something kind of starts to shift a little bit and change. And you start to feel less angry, less sad, less self-rejecting. You start to love yourself. But it's not just going to happen by itself. You have to actually put in the work to do it. So today I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to ask you, what can you do better to love yourself harder, to love yourself more, and forgive yourself for whatever it is that you're holding over your own head right now? That's the question of the day. The question of the day is, how are you gonna forgive yourself, and what can you do to love yourself a little bit more from this point on?
Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right here and right here. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.